Welcome to Signs International Ministries. On these programs, you will hear prophetic words, roundtable discussions, preaching, and prophecy news behind the news updates. Now, a message by Pastor Ralston.
The title of this message is called Straight Paths. Straight Paths. And I just want to make a comment quickly that the road to victory is following God's straight path. The straight path is the road or path in which God's Word is the instructor, like a driver's ed instructor. It is also known as the path of suffering because we do and say not what we have decided, but what God has revealed to be His will. It is the path that initiates our faith and causes it to grow. It is the path of perfection. And just a quick comment, I know that when you read in the book of Revelation, chapter 2 and chapter 3, God speaks to the church, His people. For the most part, basically, nearly every church has something that God is correcting. And it is God's desire for His people to be overcomers, for He knows that unless they be overcomers, He cannot reward them. And when He's saying they must overcome, it's because they got something in their lives that is keeping them from the full victory and something that could actually keep them from entering into the fullness of heaven, the glory of heaven. So it's very, very important for people to understand what God speaks to His church, what the Spirit is saying to the churches, to have an ear to hear. Because we need to understand that God gives us many beautiful examples in His Word about how to walk the straight path. And I want to give you the first example today concerning Paul. Paul was an excellent example about how when we come into the kingdom, God has a straight path for us to walk. Paul, his path is strongly described in the book of Acts. And it says in Acts chapter 9:8, his name was actually Saul first before he changed his name. And he rose from the earth because God had knocked him down to get his attention. See, Saul was doing his own will, what he thought to be God's will, but it was his own will. And God had to take him down to show him that he wasn't really doing God's will. The very person that he was fighting against was the very person that he needed to listen to, and that was Jesus himself. Well, it says here, when he arose from the earth, when his eyes were open, he saw no man. Okay, God blinded him, but they led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus and was 3 days without sight. Neither did he eat nor drink. It's interesting how God does things because, you know, fasting is a part of God's plan and he may not have even ever intended to fast right now, but God was already preparing his heart to hear from him and to receive from him. And it goes on to say in verse 10, there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. The Lord said unto him, Arise and go. Now, I'll have you know that when it comes to the straight path of God, it's always arise and go. We'll declare to you just very shortly here what that means. He says, Go into the street which is called straight. And you have to understand the word straight in the Greek means, which is euthos, it means at once, immediately. At once, immediately. And inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. You know, when a new believer begins to follow God's voice, God will raise up someone to help them. God knows who we can trust. Last week's prophecy, we had a prophecy in our church, and it might be best summed up this way as I was seeking the Lord's face. I don't have the prophecy before me, so I can't share what that whole prophecy says, but it basically said this, we will miss the move of God if we don't rise up and go when God says go. God cannot work with those who have to think it over so much that they end up moving after the move is over. God is moving at a certain time and a certain hour, and when He says go, we got to go. If we don't move then, it's too late. The move is already over. Faithless Christians become wicked Christians. Wow, now here's a strong word, but we need to hear it today. faithless Christians become wicked Christians, and they're judged strongly accordingly. Do you remember the parable of the talents out of Matthew chapter 25? Let's read just a little bit about the person who had that one talent, and then he didn't do anything about it. He had a bad attitude. Then he which had received the one talent, we're in verse 24, came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid. Wow, Christians should never be afraid. They have the power of God. Here he's saying, though, I was afraid, and I hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant. Boy, I hate to be told that. Thou knewest that I reap where I sow not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received my own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him. Give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But for him that hath not shall be taken even that which he hath. And listen to what he does. Here comes the judgment. Cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Wow. That means that a Christian can be judged by God. You know, we got a lot of Christians today that are running around with a gift of God, but they're not doing anything to profit the kingdom of God. You know what? Judgment is already knocking on their door, and it's only a matter of time. Again, we see this judgment at the last time with the foolish virgins, also in Matthew chapter 25, verse 8 and following. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us your oil, for our lamps are gone out. Boy, the oil in a Christian's lamp should never go out. But here it has. But the wise answered and said, not so, lest there not be enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready, they went in to him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterwards came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. Now listen to what the Lord says very clearly to the lazy Christians. He said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Wow. That's a powerful, powerful scripture. God is looking for those who we can trust, those who will act immediately. It says in Matthew 3:1, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea. What did John the Baptist say? He said, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's here at once. For this is he that was spoken of the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord and make his path straight.
You are listening to Pastor Ralston preaching.
You know, preachers that are doing the will of God, evangelists, prophets, apostles, and teachers that are doing the will of God, many times feel like they're those crying in the wilderness. Feel like there are those saying, prepare yourselves for the Lord is coming. And a lot of times it feels like no one is listening. But you know, to prepare for God is to act immediately. Immediately. Repentance requires us to do so. Otherwise, we will let one side of our heart and mind know what the other side is doing. And then we give Satan a chance to confuse us. That's why the Word tells us, today is the day of salvation. Now is the time of His favor. Don't wait. Act now. Many times you'll hear that concerning sales, but we're telling you with the pitch that comes from heaven, don't wait. Act now. If you hear God's voice, repent and follow. God gives us some beautiful examples of immediate responses, and we see it here in Matthew 4:18. Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, And he saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. The scripture says, they straightway left their nets and followed him. See, straightway has to do with immediately. They got on the straight path. You want to be on the straight path today. If you want to enter in through the narrow gate, if God is speaking to you today, respond now. Don't wait. Because you don't know if you'll get another chance. When God is speaking to you, it's the door of grace opening. Don't wait. Lay it all down. Well, that's what they did. It says right there, straightway they left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw another two brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. The immediate response of these disciples gave them a path that was straight, and it was faith in operation unto obedience. Faith in operation unto obedience. And we're called to do the same. We are called to do the same. It says in Romans 1:3 through 6, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship. For what? What's the whole purpose of receiving from God? For obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. For obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. I said that twice for a purpose, because in order to be obedient, you have to respond immediately. And then your faith will produce something. And it says, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ is still calling people today in this last hour. As Christians, we have all received grace and a calling for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. Like the time of early Pentecost in and near Jerusalem, all nations, listen, are coming to America in these last days. Or haven't you noticed? And like Peter, we must first be filled, then we must speak. The nations are coming in, and we need to be ready for Pentecost every day in this latter day reign, which is supposed to be greater than the first. Well, listen, Luke 3:3 and following, and he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. We're talking about John the Baptist again, as it is written in the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make his paths straight.
The last days are at hand, my friends.
Every valley shall be filled. I'll tell you what these things speak to me. In other words, there will be provision. Every mountain and hill shall be brought low. There shall be protection. The crooked shall be made straight. There shall be correction. The rough ways shall be made smooth. There will be connection. Hallelujah. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Finally, there shall be collection. The collection of souls. All these things will happen with our immediate and obedient response to God. We must prepare for our Lord's coming. Let's look at Psalms 98:1-9, and we'll see there real clearly one of the ways we prepare. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. Well, who do we know is at the right hand of God? It's Jesus Christ. The Lord hath made known his salvation. His righteousness hath he openly showed in the sight of the heathen. Indeed, all flesh has seen the salvation of God. He hath remembered his mercy and his truth towards the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. We can say amen today. Hallelujah. As we see mission programs going throughout all the earth, they are seeing and hearing the salvation of God. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. Sing unto the Lord with the harp. With the harp and the voice of a sound, with trumpets and the sound of cornet, make a joyful noise before the Lord the King. Let the sea roar, the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Let the floods clap their hands. Let the hills be joyful together before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth. With righteousness shall he judge the world, and the people with equity. Wow, that's a powerful, powerful verse in the scripture. I tell you what, we need to take note of it. Well, I'm here to help you today with some further rules of how to prepare. And this message is going very quickly. I'm not far from being done. But hear me very closely, especially the church of God today. Hebrews 12:12 and following says, wherefore lift up the hands which hang down. Oh, hallelujah. What is the Lord saying today? Surrender to Him today and begin to praise Him. And the feeble knees, be ready to rise up. Don't just sit there on your rocker and do nothing. God is calling unto you. Make straight paths for your feet. In other words, act now. Don't wait. Lest that which is lame be turned out of the way. Lest that which is lame. Remember that person that the Lord healed? And he says, now go and sin no more. And the person was lame for a long time and was unable to get up. And he spoke to him, now do what's right, basically. He says, go and sin no more. He says, let a worse thing happen unto you. He says, make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Healing is still taking place. When we got saved, a tremendous healing came upon us. Hallelujah. But we are to allow that healing to continue on for the amount of days that the Lord has. And if you respond to the Lord's voice each and every day, all those things that the enemy meant to bring destruction in your life will be turned around. Glory to God. Isn't God good? Hallelujah. Amen. He'll take care of that canker worm and that mill worm and the caterpillar and all those things that were destructive in your lives. Hallelujah. We need to know that. And then he goes on to say, follow peace with all men. All right. Now we need to hear some things that the Lord instructs us in order to keep them paths straight. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness, wow, look out for that, springing up trouble you. Watch out for the root of bitterness. Those things will come in and destroy your walk with God and make it crooked so fast. Because if you got a root of bitterness, that means you got no forgiveness working in your life. And if you want God to forgive you, you've got to forgive others. Number two, oh, by the way, that bitterness, it says, thereby many be defiled. Yeah, misery loves company. Look out for that one. Number two, Hebrews 12:16, lest there be a fornicator. Now, we know all about fornicators. Fornicators can't just stay with their own wife or husband. They got to go around and try to get everybody else's wife and husband. God is looking for those that will have singular devotion to those that God has given them. Watch out for those fornicators. That's just not one way, but there are many ways to fornicate. And God says, don't let those come and trouble you. And a profane person, now watch out for those who have a bad confession, those that are very careless. The scripture tells us of an example, Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. That's how much he really cared about what God had for him. Here he was the firstborn. He had it made. He had the blessing. He was the son of Isaac and had tremendous opportunity. But, you know, he says, what's the birthright? I'm famished. Well, I tell you what, that was a bad attitude. In fact, Hebrews 12:17 says, for you know that how afterwards, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. And he found no place of repentance, even though he sought it carefully with tears. He was crying. He was upset. but he didn't have no place for repentance. You see, he missed out. And the scripture tells us very clearly that God loved Jacob, but he hated Esau because, you know, he didn't have a heart of repentance. And then I'm going to finish with this scripture today. Miracles, signs, and wonders will happen on the straight path. Hallelujah. Luke 13:10-13, the Lord was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath day. Behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity for 18 years. She was all bowed together and in no wise lift herself up. She was all hunched over. And Jesus saw her, and he called her to him and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. He laid his hands on her, and the scripture says, immediately she was made straight and glorified God. God wants to straighten people out today and put them on the right path. Be an immediate follower of Jesus Christ today. Remember, his pathway leads to eternal life. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Ralston. And you are listening to Signs Radio International Ministries. Please contact us by writing Signs, spelled S-I-G-N-S, P-O, Box 122, Lyle, spelled L-I-S-L-E, New York, abbreviated N-Y, 13797, USA. Maranatha, our friends.